We are rolling.
Hey, did y'all know that this is good for the people out there in geek land? Anyway.
Welcome to the pre-show ramblings, everybody.
Yeah. Hey, did y'all know that you can get 4 free rapid COVID tests from the United States Postal Service?
I did know. Yeah. I signed up earlier today.
Yep.
Yeah, I just found out about that.
Super quick and easy.
Cool.
Yep. I just got ours.
And as of January 15th, your health insurance company either has to cover up front or reimburse you for up to 8 tests per month per person that's on your health plan.
Wow.
Wow. I did not know that.
That's pretty awesome.
Give me that money.
I haven't had to pay for one yet, though, so.
But at-home ones, I mean.
Oh, okay.
8 yeah. per person per month on the plan.
We just ordered like 4 off of Amazon. We'll see whenever those come in.
Yeah. The pandemic will be over. They'll finally show up.
The pandemic will never be over. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah. My brother and his fiance just tested positive this weekend.
Oh, God.
Everybody in the
shots
club
are boosted
COVID.
And she's fighting cancer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Everybody in the club getting COVID.
We'll certainly think about them. Yeah.
Thank you. Peter's already feeling better, just tired because he's got that goddamn Wolverine blood. But she's still trying to recover.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into the main topic of our pre-show ramblings, I want to hear about Carrie's story she has to tell us.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
Okay.
Wait, am I allowed to eat on pre-show ramblings or no?
I mean, we play fast and loose on pre-show. Yeah.
Because I got them Cheez-Its, you know.
Always
stay on them Cheez-Its.
Them show Cheez-Its.
I see April has some sort of Oreo.
I do. I have double stuff golden Oreos.
Oh, man. I love golden Oreo and a double stuff Oreo.
Here's the thing. If it's double stuff, I don't care if it's chocolate or if it's golden. I'm all about that double stuff.
So much cream.
I do want to get to my weird happening this weekend, but what is your favorite non-traditional flavored Oreo? Like not the golden, not the regular, but the other, like the mint, the mocha, whatever.
I'm gonna look it up.
I haven't really had any non-original
flavors.
Really?
Maybe this is something we need to do. Maybe we need to.
We need to go out and buy all these extra Oreos.
We all buy like one. We decide on one, and we'll taste test the Oreos. Because honestly, I haven't eaten any of the special ones.
I'm going to tell you right now.
So in my old office, in DGS1, right, where we used to work, they used to have Friday was Oreo Friday. And so everyone would go out and buy all the packs of Oreos that they possibly could.
That's awesome.
And everybody, we would just put them in the center aisle and then people would just come by and try, you know, this or that. So
I feel there's a story behind why it would be called Oreo Friday, because that's very odd to have.
I think it's just because everybody started seeing all these weird flavors and everybody was like, we should try those. And then they just started doing it. But there was one that was like it was like a cappuccino or like a mocha.
It might be a mocha cappuccino.
Something like that.
It sounds pretty good.
Good.
Cappuccino Oreo?
I remember that carrot cake Oreos were also the shit.
There was like a peppermint. There was a peppermint one. And then there was one.
Well, I'll tell you right now.
Gaga Oreo or something.
Oh, yeah.
The Gaga Oreo.
I think I've tried the Gaga Oreo as well. Basically, all of my.
Now I'm like hungry for cookies.
Now
it's a Java chip that's like coffee cappuccino flavored.
I think that is what it was.
Kiki, that's Kiki's favorite.
I could get down on a Java chip.
My favorite is the lemon Oreos.
Lemon.
Yeah, I've had those too. Those are good as shit.
I love those. And then they make like the thin ones. So if you get the thin mint ones and the thin lemon ones, just guess.
I don't like the thin ones. I don't like the cookie
part.
They're
kind of like Girl Scout cookie standing.
Are you one of the people that twists them, lick the filling out, and then put them back together?
No, I eat the cookies begrudgingly.
About the thin ones is the cookies are crisper, and I like that.
So they're like easier to eat. They're not like this a thick cookie like the regular Oreos where you kind of...
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love a regular Oreo, double stuff, triple stuff, all the stuff. whatever, but stuff. Just I like that crunch of the thin ones.
I had the key lime thin. Pie.
I don't twist them open.
It was really good.
The key lime pie?
Yeah, it was really good. I do remember that one sounds as good. Well.
So how, many flavors.
How have I not seen all these insane flavors of Oreos?
Oh, yeah, do you go to the store? Time. Because literally, if you look at the Oreo section, it's like 30 different kinds.
Hmm. I need to look. Don't they have like a red velvet one?
They do.
They do have I've had a red that one velvet. As well,
but I didn't like it.
Well, you're also not a fan
but
of
But I
red
don't
velvet.
Like red velvet. Yeah. So it's.
Oh, I love red velvet. But it's like some stuff, they don't get the red velvet flavor right.
I'm more of a red velour kind of guy.
I'm like reading through all of the Oreo flavors right now. They have some really interesting ones on here.
I'm trying to think if you've ever had my red velvet cake, April.
No, I'm not a big red velvet person. Like, I don't like red velvet. I don't like chocolate. The only chocolate cake I've
had my chocolate cake, though.
The only one I've ever liked is yours. And I just, otherwise, I don't like chocolate.
You're going to eat my chocolate cake.
Not a big chocolate cake.
April likes
fan.
My chocolate cake. In fact, they have... I remember April standing there taking a bite going, oh my God, this is, I don't even like chocolate cake. And she had like a mouthful of cake. She's like, this is the best fucking cake.
Your cakes are phenomenal. They do have this, like the Good Humor Strawberry Shortcake Bar Oreos.
Yes.
Those are an Oreo flavor?
Yeah, that sounds incredible.
Now we have to make an Oreo podcast. The flavor of the week.
I bet there's already one out there.
That could be our hankering. That could be
the new hankering
of the week.
Is what Oreo flavor we tried?
Hasn't given us a hankering in a while.
They have peeps flavored.
Oh, I don't know if I'd like that.
I don't think I'd like that. They have Swedish fish flavored.
Oh, absolutely not.
A Fruity Pebble flavored one.
Maybe.
Okay, here's the thing. We start mixing in the candy where it should be chocolate.
What?
What?
Wasabi and hot chicken.
Wasabi?
Absolutely not. Oh. Somebody was drunk at the Oreo factory. Or they were just like, we need new weird combinations to bring in the men. Why would you mix those things into a cookie?
My Oreo brings all the boys to the yard.
I guess so. You ain't dunking that in milk, I'll tell you that much.
I don't know what kind of boys you bring in the yard with wasabi cookies.
Those
big Midwestern boys that are eating all the hot wings with wasabi.
I mean, non-gendered beans.
I'm not going to lie. I would definitely try the hot wings ones. I'm looking up right now to see what Oreos are.
No, thank you. All right. So I'm
curious. You going to put in an Instacart so it's delivered while we're recording? Can you do a live taste test on the air?
Hell no. I got fucking
Hey, Kroger reduced kids. Their fees to 99 cents.
I got so many kids now.
We almost have to like so bring, we almost have to hide snacks in this house or else they just get sucked up like a vacuum.
There'd be no point to that.
You just got to get them.
Hide them under, hide them under your bed and shit. You're hiding food like the kids hide food.
Yeah. Well, they hide food because they're not supposed to have it.
Yeah.
We hide food.
So they can't get it.
That's a big difference.
All they have is the lemon. No, there's mint and Java chip. Yeah, those are good as shit. And
do you have Food Lions there?
Yeah, we do have a Food Lion.
Food Lions usually have a really good selection of Oreos.
We got Pokemon.
Excuse me?
Oreos.
Pokemon flavored Oreos?
Pokemon no, the cookies have the different Pokemon on them.
If it doesn't have Bulbasaur,
a while
on all
back
of them,
the Mewtwo was selling for like big bucks online.
Well, all the cookies just should have Bulbasaur because he's the best Pokemon.
Oh shit, they got carrot cake in there. God, that's
oh
good.
Yes, like that's another one.
I've seen. I like the Halloween ones with the orange icing.
Oh, me too.
Yes.
Oh, I like the spring ones too. I like the spring.
I swear, the orange icing tastes different.
To me, it's all about the spooky cookies because they have spookies on them.
Peanut butter pie, strawberry frosted donut.
Oh, that sounds good.
That sounds vaguely sexual.
Gingerbread edition.
I'm sorry, but that sounds just like an innuendo.
Strawberry frosted,
donut. Have you tasted my strawberry frosted donut?
Actually, it'd be more like a frosted strawberry donut.
Yeah, well, teach their own.
I mean, if somebody said to me, I'm just assuming they're talking about an actual donut.
I mean, it sounds like a good donut.
Unless your name is Christopher, yeah. Then you're thinking something else.
I mean, you know, we all have our place in society. Carrie, what is this news? That what happened to you this weekend?
Okay, so it's cold outside, like cold as shit here, but I was watching my niece and nephew this weekend. And so we went and drove around Hollywood Cemetery. We got out for a few minutes so we could watch a train that was passing by right by the river. And then we're just driving around. Now I was trying to kill more time because my nephew is like Dennis the Menace and George of the Jungle, like rolled into one-year-old body.
So that just sounds like destruction no matter where he goes.
Oh, yeah. And like eats like a grown man. Like he is literally 1 year old.
Where's my steak?
Oh, so earlier today for lunch, he ate some noodles with chicken and cream of mushroom soup mixed together, then took a nap, then woke up and ate 4 packets of oatmeal.
He's a grown boy.
It's like Joshua.
Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So then we kind of drove through the city. We drove over towards the East End and went to like the Chaco Hill Cemetery, which is another historical cemetery here. And then as we were making our way back to my house, we stopped at Maury Cemetery, which is where my paternal grandfather's parents are buried. And then my paternal grandmother's mother is also buried there. It's a city-owned cemetery. It's been there a long time, but it's one of the newer cemeteries. So as we were turning in, I was driving around like the first kind of circle area, which is where my dad's parents are. Mm-hmm. And I was going to like turn around so that you could see like the name on the headstone so that my niece could read it because she's in first grade. So she's big on like reading things. Mm. And as we were making this turn, I tried to do it a little bit quickly because I could see that there was a white like Chevy Caprice, like a former police vehicle, like that somebody had bought and was just painted white behind us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I turned so I could get out of the way and then like looked in the mirror to make sure that they had passed and weren't turning behind us, but there was no car.
Hmm. What?
So then I proceeded to like look around and look in all of the mirrors. There's no car. And my youngest child, Kiki, was in the seat beside me and also saw the car, the same car. Like said that that's what she saw before I said that that's what I saw. But there was no car.
So the car just disappeared?
Fucking ghost cars.
It just disappeared. Like there was no car. It's pretty flat in the area we were in. So it's not like there was a hill, a turn, a tree, nothing. They went behind.
It was like obscured or something.
There was no car.
Oh, getting followed. You're getting tailed by a ghost cop.
Weird.
That's so weird. That's a new late night show.
In that area, like
no, not really.
20 years or
no, nothing in the cemetery that I know of. Like I said, it's been there a pretty long time.
God, now we got to worry about ghost vehicles.
It was one of the weirdest things that's ever happened to me, and like that's saying something.
That's crazy.
That's really strange.
That's the kind of shit that makes you be like, am I going crazy?
Exactly. That's why I was like looking in all the mirrors because I was like, where did it go?
I know. Yeah, I saw a goddamn car.
Well, and it's not just that you saw it, but somebody else saw it too.
Yes, and told me that they saw the exact same kind of car that I saw before I said that that's the kind of car that I saw.
Well, I guess that's not completely out of the ordinary because we've heard of ghost trains before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, and that's what I thought of, like ghost trains, like ghosts, like people seeing like a wagon, like old stories about seeing like a wagon that disappears or, you know, stuff like that, a carriage, whatever.
Add a Chevy Caprice to that.
Yes. So
now we're getting modern. All right.
Strange.
Yeah. That is.
Next thing we know, there's going to be a ghost out there screaming, it's Britney, bitch.
I really don't want to go to that haunting. That's going to be scary.
Or you get like
ghosts that are like, you hear like a cell phone camera, like,
yeah.
Like, cause it's taking selfies.
Wasn't there a haunting? Okay. So I swear I remember that Britney Spears used to own the house that Brittany Murphy, the actress, mm-hmm. lived in with her husband when she died. And then like a couple months, maybe a year or something later, the husband died too. And Britney Spears lived there and apparently experienced paranormal activity. Like she saw them in the house.
I wouldn't doubt that. I think Brittany Murphy That's died weird. Of an overdose, if I'm not mistaken.
No, she was like sick. It was like flu was it? Or pneumonia or something like that. Yeah. Well, and then the husband died several months later.
I thought she was on drugs though.
Of the same thing.
I just remember she was very young and it was very sad. Because it wasn't long after Sin City came out that she died.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, now we got to be on the lookout for ghost cars.
She died of pneumonia. Just,
okay. Well, that's much better to know than well, I guess what I was presuming.
However, it says, according to the coroner's report, Murphy died of pneumonia with contributing factors of iron deficiency, anemia, and multiple drug intoxication. So,
there you go. All right. I was going to say, she's kind of young to be dying of pneumonia without any kind of other thing going on.
Sad.
Just saying.
Well, babe. Do you want to talk about the Dime Museum?
No, I want you to.
You want me to talk about
it? Yes, I do.
So April had this great idea to get out of the house because April doesn't like to be in the house.
No.
She likes to get out and see the world. And so we've been in Augusta for a little over a year and we haven't really seen a lot of things that are local here. And we figured it'd be a April figured it'd be a good opportunity to get out and see something, get the kids out the house, just get out the house in general, go chill, go hang out, do something fun. And so she found a dime museum here in Augusta. And
that's pretty awesome.
You contacted the owner.
Yep.
And then we ended up getting a private showing of the dime museum.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know,
private tour.
And of course, you know, the kids don't really understand what it is. They'd rather just, you know, chill at home. So we're going out to there and they're, you know, throwing a fit as they usually do because they're not doing what they want to do. So we pull up to this place. It's like, I don't know. Honestly, you wouldn't think much of it if you passed it on the street. Just kind of, you'd walk past and be like, oh, look, there's a storefront for a dime museum. But we go inside, greeted by a very tall man. With fantastic facial hair. I don't even know how to
describe. Old West mustache. Yeah,
he's got like an old carroty mustache.
Kind of thing.
And then he's got like a split beard. So it grows, it grows on the sides, but not in the middle. And then he has it like pomaded or like,
he has the beard styling.
Yeah, he's got like the cream in it and he's got it just sort of like out to the side.
It's like a Primus video. I'm there.
And it looks amazing. And he's got all these crazy piercings and stuff. He looks like the kind of man you'd expect to be greeting you when you get into a dime museum. And so we go in, we meet him. There's another gentleman that is in the... they have a coffee shop at the sort of the storefront portion of the dime museum. And so there's another man that works there that was sitting there. He didn't really say anything until the very end of our trip, but we'll get to him in a little bit. but he was just sort of sitting there, you know, being quiet. And so we go in, we meet this man, and then he takes us back to this, I believe like they made the stage in the back of this little theater. And
I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm going to interrupt. Mm-hmm. You failed to mention his glorious eyebrows.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, I was just like, I couldn't stop staring at the facial hair because that's
it's like fantastic. The eyebrows of a Norwegian forest cat.
He's an amazing.
Wait, have you seen this man?
Yeah, it's in the group chat. I put it in the group chat.
He's an amazing looking individual. And
he looks like if, he's a wizard. So I swear to God, he's got a block in my brain. So I can't ever remember his name.
He's a Gandalf.
The guy you saw?
Yeah.
No.
Dumbledore?
No.
He sent me a video earlier. Remember that video, that water video he was talking about? Here, I'm going to send.
What do you mean?
Remember he was talking about, the shape of different water, like tears and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Tears of rage are different than tears of joy.
Yeah, they
I sent y'all the movie as well, just in case y'all wanted to watch it. Well,
yeah, we'll get to that section.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
God, you're skipping ahead of my story.
I was just trying to send them pictures and stuff.
So we'll so we go back.
Grant Morrison.
Oh, okay.
He looks like if Grant Morrison had joined a circus sideshow.
And so they took, and like I said, we had a private showing. So he took the four of us back into the theater. It's a small little theater. And
super cute though. Super cute.
They're getting it ready for a Sweeney Todd play, I think it is.
Splatter Vision.
Yes, a play.
Sick.
What's Splatter Vision?
When somebody gets their throat cut in Sweeney Todd, the audience gets covered in blood.
Have you ever been to a GWAR show?
Yeah, a GWAR show would be a good. Gallagher performance. That would be Splatter Vision.
Except it was, not watermelons.
Yeah, not watermelons. And so, like, they have stuff that's set on stage that they're getting ready for this play that's happening in a couple weeks. And he's, and he's using it as an opportunity to educate on what dime museums were, specifically for the kids. And, I didn't really know what a dime museum was, so I found it interesting.
I don't know what a dime museum is, so.
So, according to him, they are the predecessors to current museums. And the main goal of a dime museum was to take your money.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll go with like Victorian era, maybe a little bit before that. Wealthy people would have what were called cabinets of curiosity, where they would gather just different items, scientific stuff. Some of it would kind of be like folklore related or just weird stuff into their homes. And like, they would have a weekly meeting. Okay, this month we're going to meet at April and Chris's house and we're going to like look at all of their shit. Next month we'll meet at Stacy's.
Look at
house.
All of our uranium glass.
Yeah. So
something that was really interesting that he explained is that they would also give classes during these showings. They would give, a class on biology or a class on mathematics or a class on, whatever, the newest farm implement as well. So it's kind of an educational way it was a way for common people to get educations back in the day as well.
So, yeah. So I think
that's really
cool. I think what Carrie's referring to is the predecessor to the dime museum. So the dime museum would be when those kind of cabinets of curiosity would move out of just the wealthy.
Into the public, right? And then they would have additional stuff in them, kind of a little bit like, God, my brain is just.
How did you find
like Ripley's Believe It or Not?
Yes,
like,
actually,
so there would be some, he brought like, up P.T. Ripley. Barnum.
He brought up both of those
stuff,
things,
and then real stuff.
Flim flam.
Yeah. So he was saying that, part of his...
I think this might be where I worked for my retirement, honestly.
Oh, it's the only dime museum...
You would love it.
...in
it's
America.
It's got Carrie all over it. Yes. But it's got
You
like,
have to come and visit so we can take you.
Yeah. It's got like... So I found him on Facebook and I thought, oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever. Because, I've watched a lot of documentaries about stuff like this and I'm a big fan of...
The macabre
and American Horror Show and stuff like that, or American whatever it is. I'm a big fan of that, and that season is really big on me. And I thought, oh my gosh, this looks like Freak Show. This looks like something that is truly interesting to me.
Up and, your alley, so to speak.
Like something that the kids will think is crazy and wild and a great opportunity for
us. I think we found it way more cool than the kids did, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I think there were parts of it that the kids definitely found pretty interesting. But yeah.
Yeah. So, and like I said, he did mention, and so he's given this history lesson of dime museums. He mentions P.T. Barnum and his four story. It wasn't quite, it was more than a dime. I think he called it like a quarter museum. Because that's
yes,
what the
I think it was a quarter.
Be. And like how he had on the second floor, he had whales. Like a whales in on the second floor, and on the fourth floor there were like giraffes and elephants and stuff like that. He had a menagerie pretty much in this four story museum.
Crazy.
And also mentioned Ripley.
Yep.
That I can't think of his first name.
Robert Ripley.
Yeah, I think might be it. Mentioned him as well as kind of being the first person to find sideshows. Or individual he was like, of course he coined the phrase "believe it or not." So he kind of brought back when he came into the scene the dime museum freak show.
Kinda. I was obsessed with Ripley's Believe It or Not, like the old little newspaper articles with the little facts in them when I was younger. Loved them.
I remember we used to watch the show, and I think I've been the show. To the museum.
I've been to the one in Myrtle Beach. There's one in Williamsburg, too.
See, I knew there was one. There's this one right next to...
There's one in Virginia Beach.
There's one next to Food for Thought.
So. Yeah, and there's one at Virginia Beach, too.
Yeah. And so after he gives us this history lesson, then we actually get to... So like I said, it seems very small. Like you walk in, and like there's like a little storefront that has a coffee shop in it. And then a little section where you can buy knickknacks and stuff, a little gift shop. And then behind that is the theater, a little small, I don't know, 50-person theater, if that. And he takes us back out to the front. And then, you know, now he's starting to go through like, so this is what you would, this, if you were to come in the 1880s, and into a dime museum, this is what you would have gotten for your dime museum. Just a little itty bitty sort of section. And then he opens a cabinet. Like, or he opens a bookshelf, and then we just go into like an entirely different section of the building.
That's amazing.
It was like a secret room.
Yeah.
Fucking fun.
He just turns around, opens the bookshelf, and we walk in, and now we see like just tons of interesting shit.
April, how do you find these places?
We were there for like 2 hours.
Oh yeah, easy.
The only thing missing from this story that I really kept waiting, because I was like, maybe, is that when it was time to leave, you had to go sit in the barber chair and he flipped the contraption and it kicked you out of shootout back.
No, so, it was better than that.
So we walked through, oh Lord, so much stuff that he had to show us. And he had stories and explanations for everything. And it's fantastic. I would do it again.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
Once you go through all of it, you exit this section, this secret section, through a coffin.
Oh, nice.
So he opens up the back of, like, if you look at it from the front, it just looks like an open coffin, red velvet.
This sounds so fun.
And it's incredible. The way that you exit this area, he opens the back of it and then you walk out. So you're walking out through a coffin. And so, to finish off our tour, our private tour, we got a private sword swallowing display.
Which I didn't have.
Sick!
From the gentleman that was just sitting quietly in the little storefront coffee shop as we walked in. And this man's like, I think he was like in his 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
76. I think he was 76.
He is the oldest living sword swallower in the world. And he's taught the most people how to do it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He swallowed a sword. He swallowed a car axle, a metal coat hanger.
And he did a nail through his like nasal
passage. He did the blockhead trick. It was a long nail. Like a 6-inch nail.
The kids are just kind of like,
that's amazing.
Oh my God. That's like one thing. So like with Joshua, he's always putting stuff in his mouth. Like I could never take him to go see something like that.
He shoved that bitch right up his... he didn't even shove it. He hit it in with pliers.
No,
yeah.
Yeah, it was pliers.
Helping hand.
No, it wasn't pliers. It was a screwdriver. Was the head of a screwdriver.
Then he stuck the screwdriver in his nose.
I'd pass out.
Amazing.
Oh my God. It was great.
It was just
the two personalities of this podcast. I'd pass out. Amazing.
It was just the four of us. And we were in the front row of the stage and we could have probably reached out and touched him. Like he was right there.
And he just had so much information to give.
Both of them did. Cause he still gave us, Red was his name. And he still gave us a whole lesson on, the sideshow and sword swallowing and all this stuff. It was crazy. It was so fucking good. Like, honestly, I thought we were done at that little section where he was like, okay, so this is where we would be done. And I thought he was going to kick us out. He's going to be like, all right, bye.
Bye.
I thought that was the end of it. And I would have been a little disappointed. I'm not going to lie, but I would have been like, all right, well, you know, That's fine. Not something I'm going to ever do again, but fine. But all the other stuff and the way that he like incorporated everyone into it and had a story for like every little thing and like went through.
Are you talking about like the little storefront?
Yeah, like before, the little, you know, before we went into, through the cabinet. Yeah, I would have been like, meh, all right, well,
I guess we learned our lesson.
Yeah, it was fucking incredible. I loved it. I loved it.
Anybody who comes to visit, that's where we're going.
Yeah.
Amazing. Can't wait.
And his name, so I want to make sure that we get his name out there and that in his place as well. I got to be honest, I'm not 100% sure how to say his name though.
Is it Pexios?
Pecho? I think it might be Pecho.
Okay.
Like from the way that they were saying it, but it's P-E-X-C-H-O and it's Pecho, maybe Pecho's Dime Museum. And it's in downtown Augusta, Georgia. It is fucking phenomenal, worth every bit of money.
And this guy, now, since COVID hit, he makes stuff for Hollywood.
Yeah, for Disney.
Oh, nice.
Was it Disney?
No, just anybody.
Oh, Hollywood.
I guess whoever he works with, when they need something made for Hollywood, they come to him and he just makes it.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
He's a interesting man.
He is. Oh, and they're doing this, him and his kids are restoring this VW bug. And the kids are learning how to weld on this bug. And basically, they're going to completely redo it. And then at the end of it, he's going to raffle off tickets. And then people will be allowed to, you know, buy tickets and be able to put ideas in for what two-tone colors they're going to paint it. And then at the end of it, once it's completely done, they're going to do this raffle. And anybody that gets a raffle ticket, whoever gets chosen, can choose to buy the car for 10 cents.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
It is. And he informed us that he's in the process of getting a T-Rex skeleton to put into this place. And it's supposed to be two-headed.
What? Yeah.
A 42-foot long T-Rex.
Wow.
Two-headed
T-Rex.
This place was awesome.
It sounds so weird.
It's fucking phenomenal.
I love it.
My favorite part was at the end, I guess there was this French performer who was like super famous and he could fart on command and there was an actual glass jar of the guy's farts. I'm about to look it up.
You Petura can buy or farts like in a jar.
I thought it was pantomime, but it's like Pitone, something like that. But yeah, in today's money on his worst days would make the equivalent of $65 million a year. With just his worst days. That's how much money.
And that's just by farting.
Just by what he did, he could fart on command, but he would reproduce songs with his farts.
Joseph Pujol, his name was Le Petomane.
Yep. That's the jar of farts.
And apparently had to take people to court because they were trying to mimic his gig, what he was doing, you know, naturally with like pumps and stuff in their shoes, like pumps and pipes that they would set up.
Right.
And so he would actively be taking people to court because they would be trying to take his business away.
Good for him. So his stage name translates to the Mad Farter.
And also,
that's awesome.
His show was right beside Moulin Rouge, yep. And he would take Moulin Rouge to the cleaners every single night. And they had more people that would come watch the farting than Moulin Rouge.
He actually worked at Moulin Rouge.
Oh my God!
Before
Amazing.
Setting up his own place. Is this the crazy shit that you learn out of this thing? And then he also had, there were also a few exhibits to where, I think he had three of them that was like,
there's a video of him from 1900, a silent film clip of him performing at Moulin Rouge.
Oh shit. That's
but it's
awesome.
A silent clip that you see during the farting.
Right.
That's still pretty cool.
So do you see just him raising a leg? Or
what? You just see like his tail flaps from his jacket flapping in the wind.
You see him like lean to the side.
There were three exhibits in this dime museum that the gentleman that was taking us through was like, he put the onus on us to figure out if what he was showing us was legit or not.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it was like that throughout the entire thing, but.
Well, these were specific ones that he pointed out. Obviously, with the whole preface of a dime museum, all of it could, you know, you have to kind of figure that out. But three things he pointed out in particular. I know one of them was a peanut-headed moth. Mm-hmm. Is one of them.
Ooh, I wanted to look that up. I forgot all about it.
Oh, shit. What was the other ones? I can't remember. The peanut-headed moth was the one that I remembered because I was like, I need to ask Carrie about this.
It is a real insect.
Yeah. Look at it.
Phalagora laternaria.
And it looks exactly like the one that was in there. Mm-hmm. It's a real thing.
It looks like a peanut and it has false eyes to resemble that of a lizard or a serpent.
Look at that. He had an atlas moth too.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Not like a really fully grown one, but he had a smaller one.
Yeah.
Something that he didn't talk about, but I saw the biggest cicada I have ever seen in my entire life. That thing was like bigger than this double stuffed Oreo. Like it, body of it was just massive.
A big chonker.
And they had shrunken heads in there. They had the flim flam machines were the most fun to me because he pulled out one of the ones that I guess are still in use today, or you know, more modern versions. But it's pretty much just like a diode and with a glass like bulb over it, and then basically works just like a plasma ball does. But you have control over the voltage, and if you turn it up high enough, you know,
it'll shock you.
It will give you a tingle. Like you can arc the electricity from the glass bulb to your finger if you turn it up high enough.
Oh wow!
And of course he's asking the kids if they want to touch it. And I was like, screw it, I'll touch it. but apparently these devices are still being used today. Like people are getting duped by these devices, being like getting like facial treatment. I think some people said that chiropractors were using them. Then like how?
Flim flams.
Flim flam man, don't ever stop.
Flim flam man, don't die.
Oh, he taught the kids what a gaff was.
Well, he told them, taught them might be. Oh, yeah. They didn't really. Well, I think Jane retained
got it. But
Joe didn't really get it.
Like I don't know.
He would prompt them like it's
very interactive.
Yeah. And he would like call for them being like looking for the word gaff and they just look at him. Like, come on, guys.
It was super cool. You guys would have loved it.
I just can't believe it's the only dime museum left. And that here in Augusta.
I know that there's
what are the odds?
I know that there's a freak show. And I mean, I think that there is a distinct difference between the two. They overlap quite a bit, but they also are very different from each other.
I say they're like cousins.
Yeah.
There are active freak shows still in America.
Yeah, I know there's one like, Ventura Beach, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. A guy I know and his sister used to perform there.
So I could see like sideshows and stuff like that being something that people would go to. Where
there used to be a traveling sideshow too, like when we were teenagers. Oh God, what is it called? It used to go around, maybe not with like Warp Tour, but something like that.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's like Jim Rose's Sideshow Circus. I think that's what it's called.
And I will say that they mentioned that the downfall of the dime museum, because as he said up front, dime museums were made to take your money. Like they were the first real big form of entertainment for the working class individuals. Okay. And so once, you know, movies became popular and there was another competing form of entertainment that wasn't necessarily nickel and diming you as you were going through the museum, because the dime would be to get you in, and then you would pay, you know, a nickel or a dime here or there, depending on what you looked at in the museum.
Right.
And so once, you know, there were other forms of entertainment that didn't necessarily take as much money, dime museums started going on the downward. And I think by the 1920s, I think is when they were saying dime museums were kind of on the out. But it was quite cool. Like I said, I'd go back and look at it again.
Yeah.
I would go back just to talk to the dude.
He was so fucking cool.
Yeah, that was our dime museum experience.
Oh my gosh. So
that's awesome.
So this...
I didn't even know about that.
I didn't either.
Sword Swallower. Wait a minute.
What? Is it red?
Hold on.
Do we have a synchronicity coming up?
Synchronicities.
No. Okay. I thought, because there's a Sword Swallower apparently in one of the Batman films, and it came up under Red's
under the
profile, and I was like, God damn, no.
What Batman film?
I would guess Batman Returns.
The one with the penguin.
Yeah, Batman Returns. I was thinking maybe Batman Forever with the Jerry Bruckheimer neon light gang.
Somewhere in the back of my mind, I remembered it from Batman Returns.
I just want to think of like the part of the neon light gang. You know, they just get a neon sword and then one of the guys swallows the sword. Oh, that's one of the other things the dude swallowed. He had like a children's light up toy.
Oh yeah.
And they turned all the lights off and then it was like blink flashing red. And then all you saw was just him shoving it down his gullet as the lights kept flashing.
Oh
my god.
Oh no, not that. Sorry. I sent you guys the video again. I didn't mean to do that.
You know, because I've always heard of sword swallowers and stuff like that. I've seen fire swallowers and stuff like that, but it's so much different. See it in person.
Yeah, it's so close. You could
when it's like 3 feet away.
Yeah. Reach out and touch it. Yeah, it was crazy. It was incredible. I would easily go and see that again.
We probably are going to try to go see the Sweeney Todd show. Although I guess we need to bring a poncho.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you seen Sweeney Todd before?
No.
Oh man.
The Johnny Depp at his finest.
Oh, I just meant the play in general.
Oh. Johnny Depp and Sweeney Todd?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's our dime museum experience.
Yeah.
Man, that's fantastic. Amazing.
If you're in the Augusta really area cool. or close to here, recommend it.
Worth a drive.
Now I'm curious about it. I'm going to have to look up more about dime museums because now I'm curious about it.
Yeah. It just gives you more reason to come on down.
Yep. Yes, sir.
We'll take you. We'll get you a private show.
Gracie was all about telling me how much space you guys had for us to come down.
Just trying to coax that you girl. In any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. and there's a special exhibit that we can't tell you about that you have to see for yourselves when you go.
Okay.
No, tell us.
No, I can't.
No, I like surprises. Yeah.
I don't like surprises. Well, I read what's going to happen at the end of books and movies so that I can be prepared and focus on the details.
That's awesome. Oh my God, I'd faint. I love surprises. Well, I hate surprises.
We were told by him we can't spoil it for anybody. They have mm-hmm. to you have to experience it.
I don't remember what we're not supposed to spoil though.
Well, that's good.
It was at the very beginning. When we walked into the main display area.
Was it the thing we got to touch?
No.
Okay. I don't remember.
It had the velvet.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Now you remember?
I remember now.
Now you remember?
I remember now. We get to touch a rhino's foot.
Yes.
Ooh, cool. Oh, cool.
A hippo's foot.
A hippo's foot. Sorry, a hippo's foot. It was very interesting.
They used to make tables out of them.
Yeah, it was
and that was something that was common in Cabinets of Curiosity.
I had the opportunity to buy presumably was a kangaroo scrotum.
Sack. Oh, nice.
a seamless sack.
Jane, so we bought like these little, they had these little rubber earthworms for like 19 cents. I don't know. It was like 10 cents, 19 cents. I don't know how much it was. It was a negligible amount of money. And I got each of them an earthworm. And the guy was like, oh no, hey, listen, be very careful with those. Definitely don't, you know, like don't stretch them out and then pop each other in the arms with them. And he was like demonstrating.
Don't do that.
I was like, come on, man. And he's like, oh, you don't have enough. No, you don't have enough. And he walks over there and grabs a handful of them and gives them to Jane. Well, so Jane goes to school today. And I guess she took some of these earthworms with her. And so she started putting them under people's desks and stuff, and they were screaming.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, one girl had to run to the bathroom.
I'm not even mad about that.
Oh, Lordy. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So anybody out there, if you're in the Georgia area, if you're in the around the Augusta area, go check it out.
Yeah.
For sure. By all means. Yeah. I think that'll about do it for our pre-show ramblings.
Yeah.
We've rambled on.
We have rambled on.
Bram, hey Black Betty, ramble on.
Ramble on.
All right. Well, I guess it's time to get to the main attraction, right?
Yeah.
Break time.